Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
So Clay Travis from Outkick the Coverage on with us every Friday at 11 a.m., brought to you by the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly. Every Friday, I sit down and I think, what are we going to start with Clay with today? What's out there that we need to start with him? And then every Friday, Clay produces
tweet
a topic
storm. Because
of a tweet storm that he started and a back and forth. It's amazing how that works, Clay.
Thank you for that.
Topic of the day. We really do appreciate that here on the show. Topic of the day, drug testing in professional sports. Go.
Nonsensical. I think that if you are a highly paid professional, you should not be drug tested. I think the NFL Players Association has dropped the ball here. Obviously, this grew out of the Josh Gordon issue, but I think certainly for marijuana, it's insane to be willing to pay somebody millions of dollars to play football for you and then not have them play football because they happen to fail a drug test. But, you know, lawyers, doctors, CEOs, Wall Street professionals, the further up the flowchart of professionalism you go in terms of paychecks, the less likely it is that you are subjected to random drug testing. And so if I were a member of the NFL Players Association, even though I don't choose to smoke pot on a regular basis or use cocaine or anything like that, I just think it is a incredibly debilitating position to allow yourself to be put in, where an owner is able to force you to take a drug test, and if you fail it, you could lose your job or lose your millions of dollars in income. I think it's just fundamentally wrong, and I've been on this for years. I stand by it. I did radio at the Zone. I do national sports talk radio now. There's never been a time where somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you got to go pee into a cup, and if you fail this, you lose your ability to continue to work at the radio station. I think as highly trained professionals who are well compensated in their field, it's ludicrous that they are subjected to drug testing policies.
Here's the thing about it as a bargaining chip with the NFLPA. But I don't know about all quote-unquote recreational drugs, but certainly marijuana. It's not even that big a bargaining chip. It'll get lumped in because most NFL players are smart enough to be able to evade it. They know when the initial test comes. They know when they have to stop. They know how to pass that test. And even if they don't pass that test and they face stricter testing, they know how to evade that. You have to be really dumb to fail an NFL drug test.
That's fine, but it's
a very small percentage. I get your thing on the bigger percentage, but I'm saying in terms of most players feeling like it's a big bargaining chip, it's not even that big a bargaining chip. It's going to get lumped in with some other stuff.
You're saying it's almost like an IQ test for the players to pass.
It's more of an IQ test than a drug test in many ways.
I understand that totally. And I think, you know, like most things in life, if you take care of your business, unions exist, and this sometimes gets people upset, but unions exist by and large to protect the knuckleheads in every industry, right?
Yeah,
if you're
true.
A great doctor, you don't need, you know, like a ton of medical malpractice insurance, right? If you are a great teacher, you don't need a great union to defend you because you are always going to be employed. The same thing is true if you're a great welder or whatever union you're a part of. You know, the Pac-Man Joneses of the world are the ones that end up being lifted up by the union, right? But here's my thing. I would make it a big deal if I were a part of the players union. Representatives, I would say, okay, if you want our players to be drug tested, we want to randomly drug test owners and GMs and coaches too. Like, they're employees of the organization on some level too. Just like the personal conduct policy applies to everyone, we think the drug testing policy should apply to everyone. So Jim Irsay has to pee in a cup every now and then when somebody shows up and knocks on his door. And if he fails it, he loses the ability to manage the team, and he has to go into counseling and programming as well. I think that if you started to make that argument publicly, and I think it's a very fair argument to make publicly, I think there'd be a lot of owners, GMs, and coaches who would say, you know what? Maybe this drug testing policy really isn't that big of a deal to begin with.
Seems pretty clear they've targeted Eric Reed. He's done a good job of publicizing that. You buy that?
I don't know if I buy that they have directly targeted him, because I don't know enough about the overall drug testing policy, and I also don't know how do you prove that it's happened, right? I just see so many things that are not true that players put out there nowadays, and certainly that politicians put out there nowadays. I would be really intrigued to know. Usually, and you would know this better than me, I think the way the policy works is if you have failed a test before, you are tested more frequently, right? So,
yeah, you're under a different level of policy.
Yeah, right. My question would be, has Eric Reed ever failed a drug test at any point in his career such that he might be more likely to be receiving that that test than others? And secondly, I just think his assertion that they are hoping he fails a drug test so he's no longer in the league, it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, right? I mean, it makes sense for him to argue that for purposes of his collusion lawsuit, which I have no idea how it would work now that he's actually in the league. It's hard to argue that the league is colluding against you when a team is employing you. I understand why he would want to make that argument. I just don't buy it as a very valid move by the NFL, right?
I take it as they're inconveniencing him and making things more complicated than they need to be.
Maybe that's it. I mean, I took it as more of a, we're hoping he's going to fail a drug test so he's not allowed to play in the NFL. Because that would be a motive. I think just inconveniencing him, I have no idea how that process takes place.
If you wanted him out of the league, wouldn't you just frame the guy?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't really follow the, like, I believe in conspiracies. I believe they exist. I believe collusion can exist and everything else. But the logic has to follow in order for somebody to be pulling the, you know, like puppet strings in order for that to happen. And yeah, like I don't, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just, oh, we're going to inconvenience you and make you go pee in a cup. Is it really that much of an inconvenience to go pee in a cup 7 times as opposed to 3 times? I mean, I don't know. It doesn't take that long. It's not like he has to go somewhere and do it.
There's a dude with you.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess you could maybe have a little bit of stage fright, like on Friends when they were trying to pee on Monica or whoever it was after he got by the fish. And I certainly understand the stage fright concept. But by and large, I mean, I just don't see that as very significant. Now,
there's a headline right there, by the way. Clay Travis has stage fright. We just learned that.
Oh, I mean, look, I mean, I think sometimes when you're standing in line for a long time at a sporting event, zero doubt that, like, I feel an obligation to pee really, really fast when there's, like, a huge line of people behind you. And I think that psychology of trying to be really fast peer sometimes works against you, and you can't pee as fast as you would like to.
I smell an ED advertisement coming.
I feel like I can't be the only person who, when there's, like, 25 people in line, you feel like, I hate that people are going to have to wait for me. Like, I don't want to be the old guy who takes like 45 minutes to actually pee sitting at the urinal. So I always feel an obligation as a good member of humanity to try to go as fast as possible at the urinal at the stadium.
Clay, is it time for UCF to either accept a 2-for-1 with Florida or a program like that, or shut up and stop talking about people won't play them?
I think a 2-for-1 is a great deal for them. Like, when I saw that Florida had offered that, I'm like, why in the world would they not accept a 2-for-1? Like, that seems like a steal to me for them to get to play Florida 3 times. Who cares if 2 of them are in the swamp? If you think you're so good, then go beat them there. And the fact that they would even come play you at your stadium is mind-boggling to me. Like, I think Florida, if I'm Dan Mullen, I don't want to play that game. I think Florida has bent over backwards. It's stunning to me that they didn't immediately sprint to accept that offer the second that it was conveyed.
Clay Travis with us on the Midday 180.
Brought to you by the Home Loan Expert and Ryan Kelly. Clay, what can you tell us about Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert and what they have going on this holiday season?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I know, what are we, like 5 days away, 4 days away from Christmas? Christmas is Tuesday, and it's going to be an incredible expense for a lot of you out there. I've looked at my credit card bill. It just keeps going up. The amount of presents we have to buy, travel, everything associated with the holiday season is just one expense after another. So if you have the opportunity to wipe out some of that credit card debt that you might not be able to pay off come the first of the year, why wouldn't you take advantage of that? Well, fortunately, we live in Nashville, where home values have been skyrocketing over the past several years. And if you have been smart enough to buy your own home, why not take advantage of those skyrocketing home values and wipe out all of your credit card debt in one fell swoop and replace it with good debt at The Home Loan Expert, a 3 or 4% interest rate on your home, wipes out a 20% interest rate on your credit card debt. Put your financial house in order. Go to thehomeloanexpert.com today and let my guy Ryan Kelly take care of you.
Continuing our visit with Clay Travis of Outkick the Coverage, Midday 180 served up by Wendy's.
So, Clay, when you look at Penny Hardaway versus Rick Barnes and the back and forth that really just ended with Penny Hardaway going on a long rant about him and Rick Barnes not responding, does this fall under the category of any publicity is good publicity and Penny wins in this thing because everyone is talking about him, or because he's factually incorrect and looks kind of dumb in this, that it's bad publicity for Penny Hardaway and not a good look for the Memphis head coach?
I don't think most people even noticed. And I say that because it's college basketball. I think people noticed in the state of Tennessee, because Tennessee and Memphis is a rivalry game. But I don't think this was talked about hardly at all on a national level. So I think
every talking head show that's on in the studio with us was playing that clip and talking about it the day after. I don't know if it had a long lasting effect. I know that national shows were talking about it for sure.
It's interesting. I didn't talk about it at all on my show, and I didn't hear it or see, you know, that much discussion about it. I think it's a total blip on the overall radar. I think it's bad for Penny Hardaway personally, just because I think it makes him look unsophisticated and like he's not prepared to be a head basketball coach. And it makes him seem like an AAU or high school level coach, which is what he is right now. Now, I know he's a very accomplished NBA player, and I know he's recruited really well. But if you're Penny Hardaway, what you're going to have to demonstrate over the next several years is that you have the ability to be a great bench coach and something more than just a recruiter. And the way he was talking about Rick Barnes was, to me, the way a recruiter would talk, or the way somebody would talk in AAU circles, or the way somebody would talk in high school basketball circles when they're not anticipating the media actually covering what they say. Like, I don't remember Penny Hardaway talking like that when he was a player in the NBA. Maybe he did, and it just did, you know, it was a regular thing, and I just don't remember it. But I don't think he would, talk that way. I don't remember Penny Hardaway being like, oh, I'll see him outside of the, you know, like outside of the gym. Like, I don't remember Penny Hardaway being the kind of guy who would talk that way. So I think it's a bad look for him. And I think, again, his focal point needs to be now on learning how to be a good bench coach in a basketball game. And I think the verdict is out on whether or not he's going to be capable of doing that. It's certainly the case that Rick Barnes, for whatever you want to say about him not winning, like people, the criticism of Rick Barnes is he hasn't won a national championship. He hasn't been to the Final Four enough. I mean, that's a tough criticism probably when you want to win a national championship, but he hasn't been to the Final Four enough means that you have set the standard that you should go to the Final Four, which is a pretty good standard to set.
Clay, let's get local for a second with the Titans. And I've been arguing throughout the week that there are no excuses not to have a great crowd for this game tomorrow against Washington. When you look at everything that's gone on with this franchise, and we hear from it, I know when you were hosting 3HL, you heard it all the time. People had a long list of excuses of why they wouldn't go to the games. And when they were 4-12 and 3-13, everyone understood exactly why they weren't going to the game. It's either stadium issues or parking's too expensive or this and that. I look at tomorrow's game and think this is a no excuses type game. The team is 8-6. There are plenty of NFL teams and fan bases that would love to trade places with the Titans. They have a two-game play-in against a team they should beat tomorrow. I want to see the stadium close to full for this game. If it is a terrible crowd and it looks terrible on television, what does it say about this fan base, about this city and their sports fandom, or does it say anything at all?
Well, I think it says the stadiums are too big. And that's one of my big talking points that I've been on for years. I'll give you an example. I didn't go to the Thursday night game against the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't go because it was going to be late at night and because it was cold. And I was like, screw it. You know, I've got a 60-inch flat screen television. I'll sit and watch it in my house. I'll immediately, you know, as soon as the game is over, I'll turn it off and I'll be able to go to bed. Now, I get up at 4:30 every morning, so my schedule is admittedly a little bit different. Would I have gone to the game if I got up at, you know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock like a lot of people normally do in their life? Probably. I probably would have. But I do think that it's the television product in the NFL is so good that a lot of people would just as soon watch on television as go to the game. I'm going to go to the game on Saturday. I'm a season ticket holder. I'm excited to go. I hope the Titans win because I'd like to be able to see that flex game, assuming it has a good chance of happening on Sunday night against the Colts in what would be as big of a game as they have played in the Titans Stadium in a decade. And, oh, by the way, then it's hard to argue if Indianapolis Colts fans roll into town and buy up a bunch of those tickets. It's hard to argue in favor of Titan fans at that point because you're like, wait, Colt fans will drive down from Indianapolis, even though it's a Sunday night game, and either get hotel rooms and not go to work on Monday morning, or they'll take vacation, or they'll do whatever they have to come support their team, and Titans fans won't drive across town and do it. But I do think the Titans struggles are emblematic of larger issues because I watch the NFL Red Zone. Every time they pan back and show the crowd, there are a lot of empty seats in NFL stadiums. Now, they may be sold, but I think that's partly a function of the NFL being such a good product on television that I like to sit at home and watch a Titans game, and every commercial break, I immediately flip it over to the Red Zone so I can watch three or four other games that are going on. And I think there are a lot of fans who think like me. Now, for Saturday, that wouldn't be an impact, right? It's literally the only NFL game on. And Sunday night, that might not be an excuse either because it literally might be the only NFL game on. But a lot of times for those noon kickoffs, I do think that there is a competition for other teams.
I agree with you on almost everything, except I don't think it's a good product on television. I mean, I think the camera angles are good. It looks good. I think the announcers generally suck, though, and I think we should demand better on that. They can't pronounce names. They don't do their homework. Most of them are lazy. If you're not on the A-team, those guys are just there. They're unfireable.
Yeah, maybe that. A lot of times I watch games with the sound off.
Or turn to the radio.
I'm doing other things. Like, I've got my laptop out and I'm responding to emails or, you know, like, I don't need somebody to be like, hey, it's 3rd and 8. It's an important play, right? Like, I can kind of follow the game with everything they put on the screen without having to see every single second. And again, I flip it back and forth between the Red Zone during the game quite a bit as well. I've got multiple televisions going. So a lot of times, you know, I've got the sound down everywhere. Drive my wife crazy. She'll come in and be like, why are you watching the game with no sound on? I'm like, well, you know, I know what's going on. I don't need to hear have an announcer tell me something that I already know, you know, about the game. But I do think the Titans regularly get the absolute dregs of the announcing society, right? I mean, that's what happens when you're not a big market. And let's be honest, the Titans, other than last year, haven't really established themselves as a national story.
So, Clay, something I've asked you about a lot, and we've talked about off-air. I've never asked you about on-air. Game of Thrones.
And yeah,
here's my question with Game of Thrones. This long wait for the final season and this long layoff and really little to no information getting out about the show, is this a brilliant move for a show to pull something like this, or is it dumb in that you're going to lose some people because of the long layoff, or are they just creating more excitement with this, and maybe we'll see this with other shows in the future?
The only people you lose are the people who have died since the last season ended. Like, I don't buy into the fact, I mean literally died, not like died in their interest. I mean, like, they are physically under the ground now, or they've been cremated.
Like, they attended a red wedding, you're saying?
They got red weddings themselves. I think in this day and age of sort of binge watching, I think that every time they have a long layoff, it gives people who have not yet caught up with the series an excuse and an opportunity to suddenly watch all of the shows. And I think that's what the data reflects, that every year in the off season, as the talk percolates around, that more people are like, okay, I want to be a part of the experience of watching this show. And I do think this is interesting when you think about binge watching versus having like a set time when it's going to be on every week. I would argue that this is a bigger event, right? If this were a Netflix show and they put 6 straight hours up all at once, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch 6 straight hours literally the minute that it goes up on Netflix. I might take a vacation day to sit and watch 6 straight hours with, you know, Laura's a big fan too. We would sit and together watch 6 straight hours. I think the shared experience of having 1 hour at a time is actually better than the binge watching experience of, for instance, Netflix posting it all at once. So I can't wait for this. I am just ecstatic and giddy about what's going to happen in the final 6 episodes.
Is the spinoff, do you think, guaranteed to equal the ratings or be as popular as Game of Thrones, or is it destined to not ever be as good?
Well, I think it's hard to reach like sort of the cultural moment of Game of Thrones, where it feels like for a television drama in this day and age, it's about as big as it can possibly get. Like watching it feels like an event. It feels like a sporting event to me. Like if you told me when this thing starts in April, you can watch the NBA playoffs in April or you can watch Game of Thrones, I would pick Game of Thrones in a heartbeat, right? Because it feels like that much of a sporting event to me. And also because the April NBA playoffs typically aren't that entertaining, right? You got the better teams winning. Whereas I think anything can happen on an episode of Game of Thrones. That's the expectation they set. I think it's hard to argue that anything could come up anywhere near it, even as a spinoff. You may know. I mean, like, what do the audience look like for Breaking Bad versus the spinoff involving
Better Call Saul? Yeah, it's good. I mean, the audience is good. It's not Breaking Bad good, though.
Right, exactly. And I mean, I think it's just hard to catch that lightning in a bottle where everything kind of comes together at once. And also, I don't think anybody's quit. Like, I don't know about you, but I quit House of Cards. I was like, this show just sucks now.
Yeah. The last season was awful. I made myself endure it to be able to.
Yeah. And the ending was even
worse.
I mean, if you have invested like 40 hours in streaming a show, and by the end of that 40 hours, you're not willing to watch the next 8 or whatever it is, that's a sign that the show has completely lost its way. I don't think there's a single person who has started Game of Thrones and watched it all the way through that's like, yeah, you know what? I've kind of had enough of this show. I don't think I'm going to finish it. I think there are some shows that obviously extend past their shelf life.
Yeah. What's the spinoff? I haven't heard the ideas for the spinoff.
It's a prequel.
Like a prequel, right?
Yeah. Naomi Watts is the star of it, and they haven't released a lot of the cast. She's the only one I think that's been announced. There's some no-names that are in it also, but it takes place like 5,000 years before Game of Thrones takes place.
Yeah, I think first of all, I'll watch that. There's zero doubt. But I think in general, we have such a glut of great entertainment options in this country right now that I think that's also, we talked about like why people aren't showing up at Titan Stadium, for instance. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, Withrow and Hutton, you guys grew up here too. When I was a kid, you know what the biggest sports thing to do was? Memorial Gym. Like if you were a kid growing up in Nashville, the best thing you could do, like the biggest sporting event you could go to by far, like I remember going to see Shaq when he was at LSU. I'm 39. Like that was a big deal to get to go to Memorial Gym and sit up in there and watch. And you know what? That place was packed. It was hot. It was an electric environment, whether you were a Vandy fan or not. And you know what's happened now? Nobody goes to Memorial Gym, right? And nobody goes to Memorial Gym because Vanderbilt has fallen further down the pecking order of games that you have to see in the Nashville area. They just aren't that high anymore, Vanderbilt basketball. And so I think what has happened is we see a rush to the global superstar. And Game of Thrones is the global superstar. And I think to a certain extent in the NFL, you see a rush to the biggest game and the biggest team. The superstar impact is occurring everywhere. And I think that hurts like lesser lights like the Titans. The Titans have stolen from Vanderbilt, right? I don't think there's any doubt at all the Titans have stolen from Vanderbilt. I think the Preds have stolen from Vanderbilt. I think we're in an era where in the superstar effect, you're either the greatest and everybody wants to watch like a Game of Thrones, or a Tom Brady and Belichick and the Patriots, or you're in danger of losing interest. And I think that's happened to the University of Tennessee for football. I think that's happened to everybody who isn't maintaining a consistent standard of excellence. The best get the biggest audiences they ever have and will continue to grow. The medium, which I would say like Vanderbilt Memorial Gym was a medium, but we thought it was great because we didn't know any better, have fallen off of it.
Clay Travis joins us every Friday from 11 to 11:30. Clay, appreciate it, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Catch up next week.
Yeah, same to you and everybody else out there. Happy Christmas, happy holidays, and look forward to it next week.
Thanks, Clay.
Clay Travis, presented by thehomeloanexpert.com. 615-737-1045, our number.
Naomi Watts' character in this Game of Thrones spinoff, the only description is that she'll be playing a charismatic socialite hiding a dark secret. That's what we know.
She's pregnant.
Ponder on
She's
that.
Pregnant with a dragon.
Ponder on that.
No need to watch.
During the break, I will tell Hutton what that's speculated to mean about the tie into this Game
Wonderful.
Of Thrones.
Why can't I know?
615, because you don't care. 615-737-1045. Watch the show, and then I'll tell you.